Welcome to Yacht Crew Vlogs, where we tell the stories of those in the yachting industry. A behind-the-scenes look that discovers the individuals in the industry, their history, their passions, and what inspires them to do what they do.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I am your host, and I'm very pleased to welcome back my next guest, Super Yacht Captain Tristan Mortlock. How are you?
Very well, Rhea. How are you?
Good. It's been a while. The last time we chatted, you were still captain on your old yacht. And since then, of course, that yacht was sold and you took delivery, or you delivered it to its new owner.
Right.
You had some time off.
Yeah. So so AWOL got sold in June, right? And then part of the sale process is the new owner wanted to keep the crew on because the med season had just started, right? So we all agreed to stay on for the season, but I didn't want to stay on after the med season because the boat was going to be delivered to the States and do a season around the States and stay in the States. And we weren't really interested in moving to, you know, stateside. And so we finished the med season, loaded her onto the Dockwise transport ship, which was quite interesting, and crossed the Atlantic, and then delivered the boat to the new captain to its new home in Florida. And then since then, I've just been, you know, working on new projects, setting up different companies and trying different things. Because as you know, I've been working on board for 20 years. So time to try something different. And
so you're not going to go back to being a captain? You think you're going to take
some
time
off? Not the immediate future. I think I want to try a few different things. So I've set up a company called Mortlock Yachts, which does charter and sales. So over the years through the YouTube channel, get a lot of inquiries with from potential charter clients, existing clients and buyers. And what I was doing is kind of like leading them towards, you know, people that I knew within the industry. So I saw a little gap there. I thought, oh, this can turn into a bit of a business. But my focus really isn't sales and charter. That's I'm kind of limiting that. So it's not going to be a big, huge brokerage. I'm not interested in employing a big team of people, just people that are interested that want my advice. So I'll help them with that and, you know, selling charters, and then, you know, moving forward other projects with, you know, with video content, still involved in yachting, but different to running, running a super yacht. It does, you know, it's don't get me wrong. I love it. I loved it. But it does take up a lot of your time. You are away a lot. And I think for me personally, I've reached a stage in my life where I want to be spending more time at home, you know, with the wife, start a family. You know, I'm 36 this year, so I think it's about time. And my wife's been very patient with me. You know, it's been 11 years, so it's time for a new chapter.
Time to cut for sure.
Absolutely. Not to say in a year or two or three I might go back to yachts. You just never know. Never say never, because yeah. I might drive her crazy and then she might back on the yacht.
Well, the thing is, though, you both have a unique perspective in that, because even though you were away, she was chief stew, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was.
Yeah. So you guys were still together at that point. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, you were away and she was at home or she was on another yacht. The two of you actually worked on the same yacht. So you've never been separated in that sense.
No, so that's the great thing, is that we've always been together. We've always worked together. So that's why the transition to being land-based is not really going to affect our relationship, because we're always together, you know, anyway, regardless. And then, you know, it's going to be different, because there'd be less management of a yacht, you know, less people management, and we have more space, you know.
So yes.
Not sharing a little cabin anymore. So it's
yeah, but you wait until the little ones come along. It's going to be exactly like riding a super yacht.
It is. Yeah. I think actually being it'll be a little bit easier looking after the kids than looking after crew.
I'm not sure about that. I have experience. Yeah. Let me tell you. It's a different set of problems is what it is.
It is. But it's problems I will welcome, I'm sure.
Yes. Well, because they're your own. You made them.
Yeah, exactly. And your tolerance levels are a lot higher with your own kids, I think.
Yeah, they're blood.
I think the more years you do it, it's like working on yachts, you learn to how to manage the people, but you get to a point where you've had a break. Your tolerance levels, they start to drop year after year, you know.
Yeah.
You know, but don't get me wrong, there are some amazing, I've worked with some amazing people over the years. You know, overall it's been a great experience. But as I said, time for a bit of a change.
Well, I can't imagine living in close quarters with that many people that are not related to me. I think I might go ballistic, to be absolutely honest with you.
Yeah. I think the truth is, if you've got a good schedule and, you know, there's a good line of communication with all the people on board, understand that people come from different cultures, different backgrounds. It is 99% of the time, it is good.
You know, yeah.
Say that. And I think it's important to have that schedule, that work to keep people's minds busy, keep them physically busy. And then you all have the same goal to aim towards.
Well, another one of the reasons that I wanted to chat to you is that you are embarking, Super Yacht Captain, not Tristan, yes, is embarking on a brand new adventure. It's taken you quite a bit of planning, logistics, yeah, flights, you know, contacts, et cetera. What is this next chapter for you?
Okay, so this is an idea I had last year. And I spoke to my wife about it a few times and she said, just try it, give it a go. You never know. It might happen, it might not. At least you can say you've tried. So it's basically what it is. Season one is going to be a 10 video series. Okay. Where I'm going on board 10 different boats. Okay. Ranging from 27 foot. And the biggest at the moment is a 72 foot. And all these boats are owner operated. Okay. And so the idea is to go on board each boat for 2 to 3 days and spend time with these owners and find out what their strengths and weaknesses are when running their own boats. Because over the years, I'm sure a lot of people watching this who are either crew or, you know, boat owners, the one thing I've seen time and time again is with, you know, boat owners, when they're coming into the port at the end of the day, if there's a bit windy, they find it quite difficult to, you know, dock their boats. Husbands and wives end up screaming to each other, you know, bad communication.
Do you know what? Yeah. I have to say, you've just reminded me of my father. He had a 32-foot Bayliner. And I mean, there wasn't a single time that he brought his boat into dock that there wasn't damage done. And I think he had to change insurance providers time after time after time. And of course, my mother... Oh, it was just, it was funny, but now at the time it was funny. I would laugh at them, but you know, looking back, I can imagine. I mean, if that was just my parents, I could imagine, you know, medium or smaller boat owners straight across the face of the planet. It is what it is.
It is what it is. And you know, the truth is these boat owners that they love boating, they don't have the time throughout the year to gain the experience and just to keep practicing and practicing and practicing, right? So like I was saying, you know, a lot of them, they come to port, they get their props caught around ground lines. Like you said, they bang into other boats. One of the boats I am working with, it's kind of like a story that I'm hoping to turn around. So this owner-operated boat, so this Sunseeker, a very nice guy, and they had a bit of an incident when trying to dock the boat, and it knocked all his confidence and his wife's confidence as well. So they stopped enjoying the boat. And this was pre-COVID, so that's a long time ago. So my mission with them is to get on board to raise their confidence and their handling ability of the of their boat so they can enjoy it again, you know, because the last thing you want is have a beautiful boat, be in a financial position to afford it, and have an incident happen that knocks your confidence, so that makes you think, I don't want to use the boat anymore, which is a big shame. So my goal is to go on board, teach them, make sure they're safe, make sure they enjoy it, and make sure their confidence level comes up. Now, the great thing about this series is that all the boats that will be on board, there's all different types of drive systems. So boat owners from all over the world are going to benefit from this series, because we've got things from smaller boats with stern drives, got IPS drives, which is the Volvo with the joysticks. We've got twin screws, which is, you know, twin shaft drives, some with bow thrusters, some with stern thrusters, all different types of, you know, propulsion systems. And there's a single screw drive as well, which people who know is probably the most difficult vessel to operate when docking. So it's been actually a few years since I've personally driven a single screw. So it'd be good practice for me.
You know, I want to practice before you actually, you know, try to show the owner how to do it.
Exactly, exactly. So the series, so that the series is going to be filmed over April, May. So I'm away for 2 months. I'm leaving beginning of April. Got the first three boats are in Spain. One's in the south of Spain, and you know, along the Costa del Sol. Then I got two boats along the east coast of Spain, and then heading to Denmark, and then France, Italy, Greece, Turkey, Croatia, and Malta. So eight different countries. Yeah, 10 different boats, 23 flights. Yeah, so lots of traveling, lots of training. And so the great thing about this is all the owners that have applied to these series, to this series, are all, you know, they've all been watching the Superyacht Captain YouTube channel, some of them since the beginning, and they've all agreed to be filmed and for the videos to go onto, you know, onto YouTube. Because I said the whole purpose really is to train them and for other owners to use that content for their own purposes, so they can learn a thing or two. And it's not only things like docking, it's things like, you know, coming alongside, refueling the boat, how they do their, you know, the pre-departure checks, how they're using, how they're anchoring, what's their system anchoring. Because a lot of owners I watch when they come to the bay, they don't understand how the wind will affect their positioning once they've dropped the anchor. So anchoring, you know, navigation, and all things that come up in a typical day of boating. And the purpose is to make sure these owners are enjoying their boat at the end of the day, because you might have a fantastic day out on the water, come into port, it's a bit of a breeze, it catches you and you're banging against another boat and it can ruin your whole day, cost you a lot of money. Oh, in your dad's case, you got to start changing insurance companies, right?
Yes. Well, yeah. Let me ask you, as part of the reason that you focused on this market, we have seen over the COVID time, the last 2 years, that marketplace has boomed. I mean, it is out of this world. They couldn't even build boats. They didn't even have the components to build boats in the US for this marketplace. Is that part of the reason you decided to go from being Super Yacht Captain to perhaps servicing this clientele, this marketplace?
I wouldn't say it was because of the sales. I'll tell you what it was. When I first started my career in yachting, I spent my first 5 years working for a company, as you know, called Marine and Marbella. Okay. And we managed hundreds of boats, and they're all owner-operated boats, smaller boats. Part of my job during my time at Marine Marbella was doing what we call client boat handovers. So new clients would come in, buy their first boat, for example, and then my job was to spend 1 day, 2, 3, sometimes up to 2 weeks with these owners, teaching them how to operate their boats, okay? So I'm not going in it blind. I've got experience in teaching, and I loved it. As I always remember, look back, and I think I really enjoyed teaching, you know, these people how to operate their boats.
Well, working. Is that not something that brokers do now, like in that range? Do they not sell a boat and make sure that the client that they've sold the boat to knows how to operate it?
They do, but we got to understand is that, you know, they probably have a given a limited amount of time, okay? So, you know, it's like when you go and do your RYA licensing, it's like your first license, you do it in 2 days, your powerboat level 2. Or 3 days, and you can't really be that confident in operating a boat after 2-3 days, you know, because in those 2-3 days you wouldn't have had all the different types of conditions and, you know, currents and wind speeds and, you know, who knows what else. So like I said, so the purpose really of the series is to go on board all the owners. They're already operating their boat, but they feel their confidence level can be higher and their ability level can be higher. So it's all about raising their ability and their confidence when operating their boat. And I think more importantly is understanding how to communicate with their husbands and wives in a calm, sophisticated manner and not screaming at each other in the port, grab that line, no, do this, do that, you know, the other, just remain calm. If you find yourself in an awkward situation, take a second to think about it. Get out of that situation, go in, kind of start again. But going back to your point, it's just what I've wanted to do now with this channel is always been about showing people what it's like. Now I can take what I've learned over the years and start physically teaching people how to, you know, dock a boat. I did a video, not last summer, the summer before, where we had Jason, our first mate, dock AWOL for the first time. And he docked it in Montenegro. And the feedback on that video was really good. And I really enjoyed, you know, teaching him. So that's kind of the direction that I would like to go on. And the great thing as well, when I did the post about the series, trying to find the owners, is got a lot of feedback. So I managed to sign up the 10 boats relatively quickly. And I'd specifically said, you know, Europe, you know, boats that are based in Europe, but I got a lot of requests from owners in both the States and also interestingly in Dubai. So if season one goes well and, you know, people like it and, you know, it seems to be quite successful, then we might do season two in the States or, you know, possibly on Dubai or season two and three, you know.
Well, I think you should do one in Canada, to be honest, you know.
Okay.
I'd like to see you teaching people how to, you know, go around ice locks and stuff. And
yeah, but I'm not,
you know, behind not, the in the cabin with like a big coat.
Yeah, I don't. I'm definitely a summer chap. I don't like the cold. So that's why I'm saying, you know, keeping the meds.
Dubai, oh, I'm campaigning for a winter tour for the Yachtmaster in Canada.
I know. I like the warm climates. Like the warm climates.
Yeah.
So no, it's also been a great incentive for, you know, these owners, because the way it's kind of working, and they're not getting charged a fee.
Yeah.
So the incentive for them to get on board, I said, look, I'll come on board your boat for 2-3 days, training for free, but in return, you need to allow us, you know, to film and to post it on, you know, onto YouTube. So that's the way we're doing it. So yeah, super.
Well, it sounds pretty exciting. And what I really like about it is that, you know, there's a lot of YouTube channels out there that show these magnificent yachts that the regular man or woman will never be able to access. And it's just, it's more, you know, whatever amount of likes they get, it's more just a bunch of looky-loos looking at it, wishing and dreaming and, you know, wanting, but they'll never, ever achieve it.
Yeah.
This marketplace is the fastest growing marketplace, and people are capable of buying into this marketplace. People are capable of paying the upkeep, the mooring, you know, all the fees that are involved with it, because they don't necessarily have to have crew. The provisioning is, you know, the families go to the local grocery store and they're making, you know, sandwiches and whatever else they need at home and taking it on board in a cooler like they would camping. So it's a different marketplace, and it is growing exponentially. So it brings it from that elite place where, you know, nobody is potentially going to get into that marketplace. I mean, of course, some are, but to the people that you might encourage, you know, a whole new generation of boaters to get into boating.
Yeah. And it's going to appeal to a whole new audience as well, yeah, you know, for the channel. And like you said, rightly said, you know, even starting off, you know, with a 27 foot with a stern drive, majority of boat owners around the world will have a single stern drive, you yeah. know. So, and a lot of them find it quite tricky to, you know, maneuver. So we'll be teaching, you know, all the different drive systems. And yeah, we'll be tapping into a new audience, and hopefully they find value in, you know, what I'm doing on board, make their whole experience better for them as well. And sharing the experience and the knowledge and having fun, you know, at the same time. I'm going on board all these beautiful boats.
Yeah.
And I'm telling all the owners what to do rather than the owner telling me what to do. So it's great.
Yay, you. Well, yeah, and I would definitely advise to the audience, please watch it before you get on the boat, not while you're on the boat.
Say that again, sorry.
I would hope that they would watch the videos before they get on the boat, as opposed to, like, you know, sitting in the captain's position watching the video while driving.
Yeah. Or they'll probably start watching the videos after they've hit a few docks and a few boats and think, oh, maybe I should learn, you know, learn a bit more. And it's great as well because we've got all different nationalities. So we've got we've got English, Irish, Maltese, American, Dutch, German. It'll be obviously in English. So it'd be good to see. For me, I'm interested to see how the differences are going to be in teaching people from different cultures and nationalities. You know, I think the German guys are going to be very, you know, straight, listen, ready to the point.
I think they're also going to be harder because Germans are stubborn. Bless them. I've known quite a few, and they are stubborn. The Dutch are stubborn as well.
Yeah, but if you know, sometimes it's right, so it's wrong. you know, and they can be stubborn and say, no, you know, it's right or it's wrong. So that's going to be quite interesting, different ages. And also, I think what's going to be quite interesting for the viewers is how I'm going to teach them. What's really important with these guys is the communication when coming in, not screaming and shouting. How do you remain calm? How do you teach somebody to remain calm? Because I've learned it. Nobody talks to me. I learned it this from practice and years and years and years of doing it. So how do you teach a couple? Because the majority of these boats I'm going on, it's all couples running. It's like husband and wives teams, right? It's how can you teach somebody 2-3 days to remain calm, communicate clearly, you know? So I think that'd be quite fun. That side of stuff would be quite fun to watch. Not just the learning exactly how to do it, but just seeing the interactions between, you know, between these individuals.
I have a feeling that sometimes some of these couples, they've had 20 years of therapy and they still haven't learned how to remain calm with each other. So you might fight a losing battle at that stage, because that may just be how they communicate. But yeah, it will be.
It could be a new approach they never thought of before.
Yeah.
You know, because people like, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. If somebody I am hoping
that we will see some yelling and screaming.
You want to see the drama, right?
Yeah.
You want to see drama. You want to see like a spin-off Below Deck where he's screaming and shouting.
No, not that bad. But because this is reality. Like Below Deck is reality. That's just taking bits and pieces and throwing it together and creating this all drama. But, you know, the real everyday occurrence, I think, you know, that's fact. Like I said, my parents did it and I witnessed it and I thought it was hilarious. So, you know, if it happens, it happens. And I think it'd be interesting because then other people will know that, oh, okay, we're not the only ones.
Yeah. Well, it's the same for us. When we first started boating, my dad had an 18-foot Sea Ray. We didn't have no idea what we were doing. You know, we had the handover from the brokers that sold us the boat. We were like, yeah, we know this is fine. But, you know, the moment we're coming to port, there's a bit of winds, or you're going somewhere new, not been before. People think that you look at boating, you think it's easy, you know, and it is easy once you're outside the port, say in the mid. Okay. Yeah. But the tricky part is getting out the port and then coming back in, or coming alongside refueling, or understanding, right, in the morning, in general, in the mid, there might not be any winds. So you drop the anchor, everything's okay. But have you thought about in an hour or two when the wind's going to pick up? And it's all these small things that, you know, to me now seem like it's just come second nature, but unless somebody's teaching you or you've experienced it, you won't know.
Yeah.
You know, you won't know. So listen, I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be very interesting. I think the viewers are going to find a lot of value. I think I'm going to learn a lot as well. It's going to be a lot of traveling. And I think it's, like I said, 8 countries, 10 different boats. We've got, you know, I think we got Sunseekers, Fairlines, got a Princess, Nordhavens. So all these different brands have their own fans and followers. So it's going to appeal to all these, different boat owners and boating enthusiasts as well. So, yeah.
Well, that's exciting. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing it because it sort of brings it down a little bit more to reality for the common man. And that's kind of nice, you know, for everybody to be able to experience and relate to. Tristan, I have to say thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you're always welcome.
Appreciate it. And thank you for allowing me to share this new, you know, chapter of the Yacht Master to your audience. And we hope, so basically, just to clarify, so the filming should be done in April, May. We hope the first episode to be released around mid-June. We're hoping the Friday, the 17th of June, and then it'll be weekly for 10 weeks after that. So the time we want to do is over the summer, because people are obviously boating over the summer. So that's what we want to do. So stay tuned for that.
Well, for sure. We'll put the information below this video or this interview when it airs. And of course, we'll keep you up to date, because I'm sure we'll be in touch before then. And you can let me know or send me links that I can share. Yeah. So that people can tune in once it's up and going. Because, I mean, with production, sometimes you make your deadline and sometimes you don't.
Yeah. The other thing, just so your audience are aware, that all the 10 boats have agreed, everything's all booked, but owners can still pull out. So things might happen, you know, along the way. So I'm just, you know, got my fingers crossed and hope it all runs smoothly.
Sometimes even the best laid plans, right?
Well, the other thing as well, okay, taking consideration is, because the schedule is so tight, is that the weather allowances, because if I get to one boat and we've got 2-3 days of bad weather, we're going to be in a sticky situation. Yeah. So it might turn from a 10 episode series into a 7 or 8 episode series, but you know, that's what it is. What it is, it's boating. You can't control the weather, and sometimes you got to stay in port.
True enough. Well, we will keep you up to date on everything that's going on. Thank you again, Tristan.
Thank you. We appreciate the time.
You've been watching another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I have been your host. We'll see you again next time.